Professor Richard Cullen, who's an associate professor in public law at the UCT, founding partner of the Paternoster Group. Richard Cullen, how are you doing?
Picotto, good afternoon to you. I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
All right, I'm good. So, you're arguing in your piece that bad timing, bad idea. What issue do you have with what Tulima Donsela is proposing?
Well, it's also bad speaker in the sense that, as you rightly say in your intro, she carries a real weight in the society because of the fact that she was such a fine public protector and played such an important role in defending the Constitution during the difficult years of President Zuma's reign. And because of that, when she speaks out on something like this, it carries particular weight and people pay attention. And with all due respect to her, I don't think she had fully thought through her idea. Unless she was deliberately playing the role of agent provocateur in time to stir up the debate, or possibly, and I don't impugn any ill motive to her, possibly she had been put up to this idea by someone within the National Prosecuting Authority. I don't think that is the case, but it's possible. And the reason I say that, and this gets to the merits of the substance of the idea, amnesty is usually a measure of last resort. It's usually something a government will offer when it's really kind of run out of ideas as to how to tackle a problem. Typically, tax amnesties are given when the country doesn't really know how to fish out all of the people who haven't paid tax. It will say, come forward, own up to the fact you've been avoiding paying tax, and we won't penalize you, we'll let you off, as long as you then start paying tax. That kind of thing.
I suppose she, and also one of the points that you mentioned in your article is you take issue with how she floats the idea. When she's called out on it, her argument kind of changes a tad bit, which leads to her what could argue as the lack of credibility in even putting this argument forward.
Well, that's right. I think, and that's why I think it was a bit half-baked. I don't think she thought it through. Amnesty has a particular legal meaning, and she confirmed that she meant it in a legal sense. And the legal meaning is you are saying to people who have almost certainly committed a criminal offence that you will allow them off that criminal offence. You will not bring charges, provided they come forward and give you something in return. The problem with this is, first of all, I don't think it's needed. Secondly, it undermines the ability of the prosecuting authorities to actually bargain with those individuals, because that, I think, is what is happening at the moment, that there's what's called plea bargaining going on. So people at different levels of the food chain will enter into the area of suspicion of the authorities. The authorities will interview them, and then they'll say to them, look, if you cooperate with us, if you give us more information, if you help us bring to court the more serious kingpins, the people who really run this show, then we will charge you with a lesser offense. The other problem with... Go ahead.
No, please do.
So the other problem, I think, is that she spoke in the interview that I heard on the day last week when she first floated this idea. She talked about individuals at the very bottom of the food chain, clerks she spoke of who didn't know what they were doing, who were bullied into doing things. Now, in those circumstances, the individual might not even have committed a criminal offence. If there was no mental intent, no mens rea, as we say, if there was no willingness to commit an offence, however small or however great, then they may not even have committed an offence. So, again, amnesty wouldn't apply to them. If, on the other hand, they did, if they wittingly and knowingly committed an offence, I think what the country wants, frankly, is that those people should be held to account. And I don't think the mood of the country is to let people get away scot-free with these offences. After all, state capture has caused huge amounts of harm to the country.
How much, Richard, of the idea of amnesty is like an easy go-to place in South Africa because of what the TRC supposedly did for us in moving forward?
Well, Kikotso, it's an excellent question, because amnesty, I think, was very much part of that mid-90s kind of spirit of national reconciliation. It was a mechanism used by Mandela and by the Truth and Reconciliation Commission to try and heal the nation. But of course, it's often criticized on the basis that too many people got amnesty and too few people received the justice that they were entitled to. And that is the problem. It's a trade-off sometimes between the utilitarian, pragmatic advantages that can come with amnesty, but then the diminution of justice that can result. In the mid-90s, that may have been justified, however difficult, but I certainly don't think it's justified now in relation to state capture. What we need is to end the culture of impunity, and we have to restore the ethos of accountability. And that will be good for the country. It will deter people from committing offences in the future, and it will help rebuild confidence in the economy.
Dealing with that culture of impunity, and just the last one before we wrap up, Richard, what we have seen over the past few weeks, if you will, action on the part of the Hawks, the SIU, the NPA, and also what we're seeing with at least the statements made by the president of the ANC about ANC members need to step down if they're implicated in any form of corruption, but those members pushing back, saying no. And we heard just earlier today or since yesterday, the ANC going to take legal advice as to whether or not that which they announce to their members, does actually hold water. What do you make of all of that that's happening? Is it real? Are we seeing movement, or are we busy with a PR exercise?
It's a messy process, and it's about reclaiming the lost territory of accountability. And of course, there will be people within the ANC and outside of the ANC who will resist that because they have vested interests, because they stand to lose, and they may end up going to prison. So there's bound to be resistance. I think the timing of Madam Feller's suggestion was bad, because what you'd seen in recent weeks was a sense of momentum building behind the Hawks and the National Prosecuting Authority's ability to finally get some serious people arrested, a sense that, in fact, criminal justice wheels were beginning to turn rather faster. Plus, the very significant statements by the president in relation to his own party and the country in the last couple of months. Now, the ANC's own party is struggling to come to terms with the implications of that, but that's the internal resistance from what one might call the fight-back faction, who have a lot to lose and who will therefore always find ways of trying to obstruct this process. All the more reason, then, to be firm and clear and not to muddy the waters, as I fear truly Madam Taylor's idea has done.
All right, we appreciate your time as always, Professor Richard Calland, Associate Professor in Public Law at UCT, also founding partner of the Paternoster Group.